this Sunni-Shia divide specifically that gets so exploited and gets so much attention in these times of crisis in Iraq. I spoke with writer Azadeh Moveni. She's the author of Lipstick Jihad. Some have read that. And she's pretty good at unpacking several centuries of history. I asked her to explain where these terms Sunni and Shia come from, first of all.
They go back to a schism that emerged in the earliest days of Islam in the 7th century. And they represent two different factions that had disputing beliefs about who should lead the Muslim community after the death of the Prophet Muhammad. So the terms refer to two groups. Sunni comes from Ahlus Sunnah, so people of the tradition. And this refers to the group that believed that Muhammad's descendants along a particular line, Abu Bakr, a caliph at the time, should succeed Muhammad.
The Shias, a caliph being a ruler, a king.
A ruler, exactly. The Shia, the term comes from a political faction, okay? So the Shia of Ali, the party of Ali. So Ali was a son-in-law of the Prophet, and the group that came to be known as the party of Ali believed that his descendants should be leading the Islamic community. So it emerges from this power struggle.
And the bad blood we're seeing right now between, if we can generalize, between Sunni and Shia populations in Iraq, is that reproduced in other countries around the world where you have this divide?
Well, there are other countries that encompass both Shia and Sunni Muslims where there is sectarian or this kind of sect-based conflict. There are places where it is not. I mean, in Iraq, before the fall of Saddam Hussein, for example, there was a great deal of intermarriage between Shia and Sunni. You know, places like Bahrain, where, you know, has a sizable Shia population. But before the political conflict there and the opposition to the Bahraini rulers became cast in sectarian terms, there was not a conflict. People were living very peacefully along one another. So I think it's very important to bear in mind that these differences are very much, you know, in the last 50 years, magnified, instigated, you know, they fall into the political context of a lot of the conflicts in which we're seeing this divide cast.
So, like, if I'm walking down the street and I see two Muslims, one is Shia, one is Sunni, say they're both from Iraq, would I be able to tell the difference?
You wouldn't immediately know. You know, there are a couple of things. For example, there are countries like Lebanon where Shia have been historically much poorer, for example. You know, they did not receive the kind of resources, the kind of infrastructure, healthcare. You know, so in a place like Beirut, you know, at some point you might have been able to say this is a Shia villager. In more cosmopolitan, different contexts, no. In Iraq, you might not have known at all. You know, there are places where it would come up, for example. Like Shia have a very different attitude towards bioethics. So a Shia couple might go do IVF and they might, you know, beyond IVF, they might do assisted reproduction. They might have, you know, surrogacy. These are things that in the Shia world are very acceptable. You know, that Sunni couple, you might see them sitting in a cafe and never know that they're of a different sect. But privately in their homes, for example, things like that might matter.
So you've got these different interpretations of the religion over centuries, but that's taken hold. And in recent years, and it's just been the source of so much violence, it seems, in the Mideast. I mean, how do you go from, well, we don't see eye to eye on these particular kind of religious precepts, but we're going to kill each other?
Well, I think very often it comes down to very ruthless, powerful leaders, autocrats, dictators, who see the potential for stoking this kind of difference and use it to their advantage. You know, Iraq is a very complex society, for example. There's, you know, a tribal overlay over Iraq. But Saddam Hussein used sect as a way to extend his political party, his ambitions as a Ba'athist. So very often in these conflicts, it becomes part of a wider political project that makes use of sect or this kind of religious difference to take itself forward.
What happens to Sunnis and Shia when they arrive in the United States, for example? Are the terms suddenly less loaded when they arrive here?
I think they're far less politicized, certainly. There are differences in ritual. You know, the Shia are often described as the Catholics of Islam. There's a lot of attention to martyrdom and saints or imams. It's a slightly different religious culture. But that recedes, I think, in the diaspora and in places where it's not in the middle of a fraught political conflict. I think intermarriage is quite common. You know, I think both are would see themselves in the diaspora as part of a wider Muslim community, but vested in that, in the identity of their particular sect.
That was writer Azadeh Moveni, author of Lipstick Jihad, breaking down for us where the Sunni-Shia split came from and what it all means.